I'd like to go into the update 1063. The editorial was written by me this time with the title, How Courageous Are You? I'd just like to read one section from it. I want to focus, I wrote in this editorial, on our duty as true Christians to attend the worship services of God's church in person whenever possible, including the weekly Sabbath and the annual holy days and festivals. This also means for properly baptized church members to attend in person when possible the annual Passover evening with a foot washing ceremony and the partaking of bread and wine as symbols for Christ's broken body and his shed blood. It takes courage to do so when the government tells you that you must stay home and that you must not assemble with others of like mind to celebrate and observe those most holy occasions. Make no mistake, the government will try again, and your courage will be tested. And we have several articles in this update, in the previous update, which already talk about attempts to resurrect some of these ridiculous restrictions we had gone through in the past. When it comes to the current events, of course, we say a lot about the attempt to indict Donald Trump, and more attempts will occur in other matters as well. We can rest assured of that. In this light, the question has come up, so what if? What if he is going to be indicted? What if he's going to be arrested? What if he's going to end up in prison? Not that I anticipate that to happen, not in this case. But what if? Now, we have an article, not in this update, but I found it actually this morning, which goes into that issue, and I thought I'll just read that to you because it fits right in with what we are talking about. It was written by the New York Post, dated March 25, and it says, former President Donald Trump could run for the White House even if he is convicted and sent to prison. It wouldn't be the first time a major campaign was staged from behind bars. In 1920, socialist candidate Eugene Debs launched a White House run and garnered nearly 1 million votes while incarcerated at the federal pen in Atlanta. Debs had been convicted of sedition in 1918 for protesting U.S. involvement in World War I. Now think about that. So he spoke up against U.S. involvement in World War I and was put in jail because of that. It goes on to say he was sentenced for 10 years, but that was commuted to time served in 1921 by President Harding. In most recent times, former Ohio Representative James Trafficant, who was expelled from the House in 2002 after being convicted in federal court of racketeering, bribery, and tax evasion, staged an unsuccessful run for his old seat while incarcerated at the federal prison in Pennsylvania. If Trump is in jail, he could run, as Debs did. And if that happens, the uproar over it will surely be exploited by the government to stoke more rage and panic over, quote-unquote, domestic terrorism, on the article goes. So that is one side of the coin. So he could run. Secondly, he could also pardon himself, as many scholars feel. We have an article in this update, which is titled Public on Edge, and Professor Jonathan Turley wrote, there's a question of self-pardon. I have long maintained that a president can pardon himself. So let's say he is convicted. He still can't even become the president. And frankly, even if he is not pardoned, he still can become the president because there's another article by Professor Dershowitz saying that the Constitution only has three elements where somebody could not become a president. And what Trump is being charged with wouldn't be qualifying. So he could even become the president while in jail. Think about that. So it's just a horrendous situation, and we'll see what is coming out of this. The feeling may be at this point that he is not going to be charged or indicted next week, but we have to wait and to see as to how this plays out. So anyhow, we have quite a few articles on that one. We also have a few articles on the Joe Biden debacle insofar as receiving payments, that is for the Biden family for sure, payments more than $1 million from accounts related to Hunter Biden's business associate Rob Walker and the Chinese business ventures in 2017. Now Joe Biden denied that that happened, but bank record seemed to indicate otherwise. That's an article by Fox News. So again, we'll come to expect some interesting developments there. I think I mentioned this last time, but the majority of GOP voters is now against supporting Ukraine. LifeSite News wrote that only 42% of Republicans support providing weapons and financial support to Ukraine, meaning a full 58% do not. And of course, this goes right hand in hand with biblical prophecy, because we know from the Bible that ultimately Ukraine and Russia will unite and they will ultimately become the enemy of Europe. I have to say quite a few things about that one in a moment. But we also talk about the fact that interest rates were raised again, and Breitbart points out that the Fed was stuck between a rock and a hard place. With the Fed increasing interest rates, banks could likely continue to struggle with liquidity and perhaps cause more bank failures. Not having the interest rate would likely fuel inflation that previous interest rate hikes were intended to reduce. Now, we do have a standing watch program on that one. Insofar as the bank failures are concerned, I watched a program the other day. I think it was the editor of Business Insider feeling very strongly that we haven't even experienced the latest yet, that things will get worse and worse. Now, of all people, Senator Elizabeth Warren said that Federal Reserve Chairman Powell should be removed because he is trying to drive the U.S. economy into a recession. So we'll see how that is going to play out. But I'd like to briefly now talk about the situation in Europe and Germany and the fact that an arrest warrant was issued for Vladimir Putin. You probably all heard about that. We have this in our update as well. And we have a brief note by Deutsche Welle to the effect that former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev has warned that any attempt to arrest Vladimir Putin in Germany would be seen as a declaration of war. And in that case, all our assets, all our missiles would fly to the Bundestag and to the Chancellor's office. Now, when I was reading that, I was wondering, why is he singling out Germany? Well, there's a reason for that. The reason is, if you forgive my saying this, the German stupidity. An article which was published by Breitbart said the following. While it is unlikely Vladimir Putin will find himself in Germany or any other European Union nation by choice in the near term, he is due to visit South Africa for the summit in August. South Africa is a signatory to the International Criminal Court and therefore legally obligated to execute any warrant for his arrest. However, they have ignored this before, arguing that visiting heads of state, even if they have outstanding warrants, have diplomatic immunity. While Russia's threat to bomb the Netherlands for hosting the International Criminal Court and any country that would try to serve the warrant is extreme, it is not far away from the threat the United States themselves made against the same court in the past. And then they continue to say that Germany actually made the statement that if Putin ends up visiting Germany, they would have to arrest him. And that prompted the comment by Russia in response. Now, it's not only Germany. If you want to think in terms of stupidity, I think Austria even topped that one. An article by Report 24 this morning said this. As soon as Sig Maurer from the Green Party casually declared war on Russia in a press conference, the Ministry of Justice of the Green Party in Austria, we're talking about, also said that President Vladimir Putin would, of course, be arrested in Austria. Former Russian President Medvedev explained to Germany only yesterday that such an action would be considered as an act of war and would result in the immediate bombing of Berlin. The arrest warrant against Putin is ridiculous in itself, because the court in The Hague, which feels responsible, is not even recognized by Russia, the United States, or about half of the countries in the world. This did not prevent Germany or the United States from applauding the arrest warrant. Actually, the Greens should have acted in accordance with the Constitution and the law in the exercise of their state offices, which means acting neutrally. But instead, they joined Germany's threat. It is clear that the offer to bomb the German capital also applies to the capital of Austria. Now, why is that interesting? Why is that important? We are still working on our new booklet, I hope we'll get that out pretty soon, on the destruction of Germany and Austria, and Europe, for that matter. We point out in the booklet from the Bible that it is going to be Russia, in addition with Russia's allies. Who will destroy Berlin? Who will destroy Austria and Vienna? Through nuclear weapons. It's clearly prophesied. Now, it's not going to happen now. There are other things which have to happen first, but when I read these kind of things, I could see it's a preliminary fulfillment, so to speak. It's already preparing the scene for something which is going to happen in the future. After, of course, first you have this war between Europe and America and Great Britain, but after that, you have the war between the kings of the East, so to speak, Russia, China, other Far Eastern nations, against Europe. It's going to happen. And I'm reading more and more about the fear that Berlin will be destroyed by Russia. Now, something is occurring there, something is happening, and even people don't understand the Bible, but they apparently sense something which could be quite of remarkable interest. Now, you probably heard what's happening in France, and the fact that King Charles was supposed to visit France, but because of the tremendous upheaval over there, having to do with the raising of the pension from 62 to 64, imagine that, people get all upset about that. Here it's, they're talking about bringing it up to 70 or something like that. But anyway, here's an article by BBC News saying this was a hugely important trip for the king, a first state visit. But it may have been a joint decision to cancel the visit by France and UK, but the UK was under great pressure. So they were supposed to go to travel to France and from France to Germany, so that's not going to work. So they travel to Germany right away, Berlin again, and start their trip from there. But Express had this to say. Royal commentator Richard Fitzwilliam said the postponement of King Charles' state visit to France, the first of his reign, marks a humiliation for President Macron. The country is descending into anarchy. Do you know that? And it was clearly impossible to guarantee the safety of the royal party. So France is descending into anarchy, which is quite an interesting development if you really think about that one. Now, we have another standing watch out there. And before I go into that, I want to quickly talk about the disunity happening between the German Catholic Church and the Vatican. This disunity has been happening for a while. We also talk about more paganism entering the Catholic Church, and we have some very striking example as to what is happening there. But I'd like to quickly talk about this schism, the feared schism, between Germany and Rome. Reuters wrote on March 24, Pope Francis should take disciplinary action against German bishops who support same-sex unions and hold other heretical views, a top conservative cardinal said in an interview published on Friday. The German Catholic Church is discussing a series of reforms, introducing or including on homosexuality, women priests and priestly celibacy, as part of the so-called synodal path. Speaking to La Repubblica newspaper, Cardinal Gerhard Ludwig Müller, a German himself, said some of the bishops taking part in the process have approved heretical texts and should be tried under canon law. He said allowing gay couples to have their union blessed by a priest goes directly against Catholic faith. Blessing homosexual couples is a blasphemy, he said. Now, in July, the article says, the Vatican tried to slam the brakes on the German movement by those German bishops, saying it risked causing a schism in the universal church. And so we have a standing watch program on that one as well. I'd just like to give you a brief summary of it. It was just posted Thursday, titled Catholic Church in Turmoil. Many are concerned that the German Catholic Church will split from Rome. The German bishops are determined to pursue certain quote-unquote reforms, regardless of what the Vatican says. Others in the Catholic Church are worried that pagan practices and customs are invited into the church. What could this all mean? We have the same program also in the German language. Now, I point out in the program that paganism, as being part of the Roman Catholic Church, is nothing new. You call that syncretism. Somebody didn't like that. Somebody wrote me and said, oh, well, you know, what are you saying? You are rejecting philosophy. Well, I most certainly do, and the sermon in a few minutes will go into that quite in detail. But you see, something like that has happened before. I don't know whether you knew this, but under the Third Reich, under Adolf Hitler, the German Catholic Church totally separated from Rome, started their own church. It was an independent German Catholic Church. There were also times where you had three popes ruling at the same time, everybody claiming to be the right pope. Sometimes it was two, one time it was actually three. So we'll see what happens on this one. We are watching this carefully, but it is clear to me that ultimately something is going to happen. It's not going to just go away like it is. Q&A. The question is asked, how do I make my calling and election sure? And Eric Rank is going into that in great detail. And he says there are three things that this Q&A will focus on, directing our efforts towards, which will help bringing fruit to maturity. And then he brings up three things, you know, which we need to watch and observe. And I'm not going to tell you what they are, because you have to read the Q&A to find out. But it's one which also, as you will see, goes hand in hand with the sermon. It wasn't planned that way, but that's how it turns out.